Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we have an opportunity to open up your word. Thank you for the guidance and direction and the answers it gives us. Lord, I pray that we would seek it wholeheartedly. And God, I pray that you bless the service here. That you be pleased and honored and glorified. Lord, I pray for the needs that are here. And Lord, just thinking of other requests as we're just praying, Lord. And God, I pray for the needs that are here. I pray you'd meet them. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Listening to the radio this afternoon, and they were doing a news interview with certainly someone that was in favor of Palestine. And if you've been watching the news at all, there's certainly a active conflict going on right now. And they said this remark. They were certainly not pro-Israel, the person that they were interviewing. They said, this is the first time that we can remember a president that said that the Muslims and the Jews both deserve land. Hey, listen, there's a lot of different ways you can handle social reform and what you can do about bridges. But when you start going against God's people, now you're not just... Now we're not talking about just a different policy. We're talking about going against the promises of God. This promise was instituted 4,000 years ago. And it's played out over and over again. Genesis chapter 17. In verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, he says to Abraham. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Unlike other maybe circumstances, this one doesn't end. The nation of Israel are God's people and will always be. Praise the Lord for the grafting. Thankful that we got in. That he took some old Gentile dogs, and as we studied through the book of Acts, he brought the gospel to the Gentiles too. But please understand that we have not replaced Israel. God's people are still Israel. He's not done with Israel yet. In Romans chapter 12, let's read there. Romans chapter 11. A lot of people misunderstand Romans chapter 11. Let me tell you what Romans chapter 11 is about. Let me read to you what Romans chapter 11 is about. Verse 1, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God's not done with Israel. Romans chapter 11 is about Israel. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, and he goes on to say multiple things. So this is not a Bible study of Romans chapter 11, but I do want you to understand God's not done with Israel. Psalm chapter 122. Psalm 122, let's look at verse 6. This is a commandment. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, it says. I think it's pretty clear through the scriptures what God thinks about Israel. Those are his people. They have been. He worked with great effort to deliver them, to protect them time and time again. And although they denied the Messiah, he just says, all right, I'm gonna set you off to the side for a little while. I'm not done yet. It's kind of like, go to my room. I'll be there in a few moments and we'll deal with this. He will deal with Israel again as a nation. For right now, what do we need to do? We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As Christians, we ought to align with Israel because those are God's people. Yep. You know, there was a king that sat upon the throne. His name was Saul. Saul had something in his heart that was just a mess. It was pride. And what set David so much apart from Saul was their hearts. Saul thought he was something. 1 Samuel chapter 13, let's look there. Just wanted to give you a little help tonight. So when you watch the news or listen to the news and they just trash Israel and say that they don't deserve this land, God said they deserve the land. God says it's their land. That's how it goes. 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Jerusalem, or over Israel, so here's the problem. He started to think that he was something. He came in humbly, but by year 2, look at verse 8, it says, and he tarried 7 days according to set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal. There's a lot of circumstances that were going on. Samuel says, go there, wait for me, I'll be there. And Saul gets there. Samuel's not there. He's delayed. Who knows? And he takes it upon himself. He overstepped his bounds. Why? Because Saul thought he was something. And Saul said, and the people were scattered from him. Verse 9, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me. That's not his job. That was not his responsibility. No, that was not what he was called to do. He was called to be the king, not the priest. And he got a little big for himself. He thought he was more than what he was. And he says, here, I can do that. I've seen it done a ton of times. Come here. And he fulfilled the role that he had no point in doing. And it says, and bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him, tried to make it look like everything was good and well. But he knew that he was in trouble. In verse 13, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. And instead of getting humble, Saul got proud. And that's the difference between David and Saul. When Saul was confronted with a problem, he tried to fix it. But when David was confronted with a problem, he tried to make right with God. And God begins a transition. Look at verse 14 in this same chapter. It says in verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought for a man after his own heart. And we begin this transition. God is kind of takes Saul and he puts him off to the side. Was David perfect? No. Did David sin? Yes. Did David have trouble in his life? Yes. When you study the life of David, the conflict between David and not so much other nations, but so internal conflict with his own family, with his own circumstances, it was just, he had a rough go. But there was something about his heart. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, look there please. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. He anoints David as king, and he does this not based on what is on the outside, but based on what is on the inside. And this transition from Saul to David, he sets Saul aside because of his folly, but also because of his pride. And he comes after and he grabs a hold of David and he places him as king over Israel, the same Israel that we were just talking about, God's chosen people. And Saul moves out of the picture and he just has nothing but conflict. And David comes and he rules and reigns Israel. And God blesses there and does some things with him. And at the end of David's life, I want to draw your attention to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I shared this verse with our staff this morning in our staff devotions. And you're thinking, wow, all that? No, we just looked at the verse and talked for about 3 minutes about it. But been thinking about that. First Chronicles chapter 29, David's at the end of his life. So if we could review here for a second. The first part was just kind of set in order just to remind us of who God's chosen people are. But after that, we looked at a transition from Saul and what was wrong with Saul and what was wrong with his heart as opposed to what was good and what was right in David's heart. And at the end of David's life, he's about to die, David makes these statements. You would think after ruling and reigning in Israel, what at the time we would say the greatest nation on earth, that he might have been a little full of himself. But at the end of his life, look at his final words. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 29 and verse 11, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." This isn't coming from a handmaid. This isn't coming from a servant. This is coming from the King of Israel. And if the King of Israel can have a view of God in this way, don't you think we too ought to have that same view of God? What a danger in the Christian's life if we don't view God in this way. I think it was Brother Primer that prayed something almost similar to this. God, help us to see your glory. And we have this, if we look at this list, these five things, we see greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty, all of which could be ascribed to King David. His greatness and his power, do we not forget the battle between Goliath? Greatness, power. Little man took a rock and a sling and knocked down a 9.5-foot-tall giant. Surely David had power. Surely there was times in David's life that there was greatness, but he's not bringing attention to his greatness and his power. Glory. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 7. 1 Samuel 18:7 says, "And the women answered," remember when he comes in, "and the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.'" Glory. Oh, David was glorified. He doesn't bring that up. No, he's talking about God's glory. Think about your life and your conversations with others. Think about what you talk about. Do you talk about your greatness? Do you talk about your power? Do you talk about your glory? Do you talk about your personal victories? David had victories. He was successful in overtaking the Philistines, the Amorites, the Syrians, and multiple other nations. So much so that he was such a man of war that God said, "I can't even let you build my temple." Victory. After victory, after victory. If David's heart was right, he'd win. Time and time again. Because God was with him. He brings none of that up. He says, "God, you are great. God, you are powerful. God, you are the glory. God, it is through your victory. And then he says these words, majesty. Have we forgotten the throne of David that would be promised to him that would last forever? And yet David speaks at the end, nothing of himself, but all about God. Who are you bringing attention to in your life? Who are you talking about? Who gets the recognition? This is the King of Israel. Volumes of words will be written about this man. And yet he draws no attention to himself. If the King of Israel speaks in such a way, don't you think that you and I should? Turn with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Psalm 145 and verse 3 reads this, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. David here recognizes again the greatness of God. Here we see words describing our Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Because of his greatness, because of his character, that ought to cause us to praise him. And that's what was happening with David. David on the deathbed, and he's about to transfer power over to Solomon. All he could talk about was what God has done, who God was. Not only was he great, turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. There's power. King David recognized it. Can we? Oh, he's just the big man upstairs. No, that's not how we talk about God. I encourage you as a Christian, don't ever lose your awe, your majesty, your view of God. Because a great awful thing can happen if we bring God down. David, after serving as the king of Israel for 40 years, took no credit of himself. He spoke of his greatness. He spoke of his power. He spoke of his glory. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. How often is your conversation about you? How often is your conversation about the Lord? Remember, King Saul, his problem was him. Psalm 72 and verse 19 says this, and blessed be his glorious name, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. What a great phrasing there. And blessed be his glorious name for how long? Forever. And let the whole, it doesn't even say heaven, let the whole earth be filled with his glory. God in his greatness, God in his power, God in his glory, God in his victory. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, familiar verse. Then we'll go over to 1 John chapter 5. John 16 verse 33 says this, these things have I These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, personally, as Christians, as a child of God, each and every day we can experience the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is to be had for you and I. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4 it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Look at verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Let me tell you about victory. The world has not known victory like the victory of God, able to overcome the most difficult of circumstances, the most difficult of consequences, the eternal payment of sin. I'm thankful for that. Victory through God. Lastly, Psalm 93. Listen to this beautiful, beautiful psalm. Psalm 93, it's five verses, but Psalm 93 reads this: "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty." I love this tie. This is the tie that we wore for Roger and Ashley's wedding. So it has sentimental value. But it's a tie that I don't know what the deal is. It's a little long, and if I tie it perfect, I have to tuck the backside in here. I hate it. I love the tie, but it just, as nice of a tie, it just doesn't work right sometimes. I feel bad if the Williams are watching online. I love it. I'm wearing it. "For the Lord majesty fits just fine." That's what he wears. "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." Yea. "The testimonies are very sure." Look at now. "Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." He's clothed in strength and majesty. His voice is louder and stronger than the sound of the mighty waves. And his house is adorned in holiness. Can you just get a view of that for a moment? His majesty. At the end of David's life, David didn't want to talk about himself. He wanted to talk about God and his greatness. He wanted to talk about God and his power. He wanted to talk about God and his glory. He wanted to talk about God and his victory. He wanted to talk about God and his majesty. This is the King of Israel. What does your conversation sound like? Do you bring attention to God's greatness, his power, his glory, his victory, and his majesty? Or does your conversation go something like this? "Let me tell you about me. No, Saul, we're going to put you aside for a little while." Because that's what the Lord despised about Saul. It was all about him. What he loved about David was David made it all about the Lord. We could take a great lesson from this tonight. Go back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll read this verse again. In verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." I want to remind you here tonight, no matter what you watch on the news, no matter what you read in the paper, what you listen to on the radio, God is in control. That's a blessing to know. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Glad you're here tonight. Our furnace is up and running. Praise the Lord for Mr. King. He buys us, listen to this, on a Wednesday night before church, he buys us parts at a wholesale rate, puts it in for us, doesn't charge us anything. What a blessing. Thankful for that. Thankful that we got that up and running. And praise the Lord for people that want to be a blessing to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, would you forgive us forever detracting from your greatness, from your power, from your majesty, from your glory, from your victory. Lord, forgive us from trying to steal that. Lord, may we speak of you. May we speak of you all our days. Lord, help us with these things. May this verse not soon leave our hearts and minds. Lord, thank you again for our church body to meet together. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the needs that are here tonight. Lord, we love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.